This is Donna Skoglund, and you are listening to the Pleasure Project podcast, episode 152. I want to share the story of how I gave up alcohol without using willpower and the stages of change that you need to go through to be able to change the behaviors that you want easily, naturally, and permanently without force. Without rushing, without forcing, without it being a huge struggle, and without backsliding and this kind of on, off, all or nothing cycle that a lot of people get in when they're trying to change sticky behaviors. So it was about 6 months ago that I actually ended my relationship with alcohol completely. And I wasn't really drinking that much. I was having a small glass of wine every Friday night, a small glass of wine every Saturday night, but it was very consistent. Like every Friday, every Saturday, there was no Friday or Saturday that I didn't have my small glass of wine. And every once in a while, I'd have one on Sunday or another night of the week if we went out for dinner or if there was some special event. But I started to realize that it just wasn't serving me. And as I'm getting older, I am 47, I'm in perimenopause. And if you are in perimenopause, you know that your body reacts very differently and your hormones are changing and you're more sensitive to things that didn't really bother you before. So I noticed my sleep getting disrupted. There were times where I'd wake up in a pool of my sweat. I noticed that I had lower moods the next day after drinking. I also knew those were all the physical symptoms, but I knew that alcohol was not serving me. I tend to have a weaker liver, and I really consider myself as someone who is very healthy, and I prioritize my health and self-care, and I'm always doing things to get healthier and to live a cleaner, healthier lifestyle. So drinking was one of those things that just didn't quite align with the rest of my lifestyle. But I was justifying it and telling myself, I don't drink a lot. It's definitely not a problem. I'm really literally having maybe a 4-ounce glass of wine a couple times a week. No big deal. And, we've been taught so much that a little bit of wine is actually good for you. And, there's cultures around the world that, drink a little bit every day and they're very healthy. So I was holding on to some of those stories, but I started to become more aware of how alcohol is actually not good for you in any amount, no amount, not even a small glass a couple times a week. So I started to entertain the idea that maybe I wanted to give it up. But I also wanted to approach this change without using willpower, without forcing myself, without rushing. I didn't give myself any timeline. I allowed it to just happen when it happened naturally. And I really wanted to use the techniques that I use on my clients in terms of changing my mindset first and then allowing my behavior to follow. And that is the most sustainable way to change, because willpower is not sustainable. It's not something that you can rely on. So the process was I started to pay more attention to information about alcohol and against alcohol and selling myself on the idea that alcohol was not good for me in any amount, instead of what I was doing before was justifying that the small amount was not a problem, not a big deal, and maybe even good for me. I also started to pay more attention to how it was affecting me personally, in my body, in my mind, and make those connections between sleep, mood. I noticed, when I have some wine, I want to eat more, so I tend to overeat, and how it was disrupting digestion and hormones. And all these subtle little ways that my body was communicating to me that alcohol was not good. And then it was on my birthday that I had the thought, And this was after a few months of really entertaining this idea and selling myself on this change. And then on my birthday, it just occurred to me that I didn't really need it. And I wasn't going to have it. And I was kind of shocked because it was the first time that I had not had anything to drink on my birthday since probably my late teens. So for, 30 years, I had always celebrated with alcohol on my birthday. And then a few weeks later, I went on a vacation and the same thing. I just decided, you know what? It's not worth it. I don't want it. And I came back from that vacation and I was honestly a little bit shocked that I went through an entire vacation where everyone around me was drinking alcohol and I was the only one who wasn't. And I was amused that it happened so easily, so naturally. It didn't feel hard. And I was able to do that. And then that really clicked for me that, okay, I've done it. I've created this transformation. I've truly let this go from my life. And it was funny because probably a few weeks later, a month later, I really do enjoy the taste of wine. And my husband was drinking some wine and I had this thought that, you know, I really like wine. I maybe like to have a little bit of wine, maybe. And so I had a sip and it tasted like rubbing alcohol. Like the taste was so different after making the shift in my mindset and then not drinking it for a month or two. And then it was so easy. I didn't feel the need to have more. And it was further confirmation that this had really shifted for me. So as, you know, I've been going through these last 6 months and different situations where previously I would have had alcohol, like in social situations, family gatherings, going out to eat, vacations, I started to really see some of these subconscious reasons I was drinking in the first place. And I noticed that, oh gosh, you know, I was holding on to it because I see myself as being someone that's cool. And then I noticed that there were points where I felt like me not drinking felt uncool or that I was very kind of square, which does not feel like me. And I didn't like that label. But then I realized this is just, you know, this is just what we have been programmed, socially programmed to believe that when it's kind of like when it was cool to smoke, like when you smoke, you're cool. Now that's not a thing anymore. It's not cool to smoke. But it's still a thing with alcohol that if you don't drink, then you're uncool, you're square, or there's something wrong with you, as in you've had problems with alcohol, you're an alcoholic, or you can't control yourself. And none of that felt true either. I also felt that maybe some people would feel less connected to me, or I would actually feel less connected to them if we didn't have this kind of thing that connected us being alcohol, this kind of glue that we did together, and it kind of created this effect of relaxing and taking the edge off and being able to be more free together. And it was just clear to me that, okay, this is the challenging part of now being someone who doesn't drink alcohol. Sometimes I'm gonna feel like I'm like the square one or the uncool one, or I'm gonna feel a little bit more awkward and separate in social situations. So I think this is important to think about when you really consider giving up a behavior, to see that, you know, there's always a reason why we do everything. We're getting something from it. So to see what we're getting from it and to be able to make peace with that and be okay, like, okay, I'm just going to be okay with maybe being judged in social situations, maybe feeling a little bit more awkward in those situations, but that's okay. It's worth it for me. It's worth it for me to make the choice that aligns with who I want to be, how I want to feel, my values, my goals, and know that, you know, there's always going to be the challenges with any change. So there's challenges with obviously maintaining a behavior that's not good for you, as in the detrimental effects, but then there's challenges with giving it up as well. So to be able to go into a change with eyes wide open and being able to see the whole picture. So I want to just share with you the process, the step-by-step process to create this change. So whether, or create any change, whether that's giving up alcohol or giving up fast food or giving up porn or giving up smoking or giving up anything and changing something permanently without it feeling like a massive struggle. And I've broken this down into 8 stages. And if you move through these stages really deliberately, then you will be able to make the changes you want to make sustainably. And those changes will stick. So you don't have to keep battling with yourself, because people battle for years, sometimes even decades, with things like alcohol, smoking, junk food, eating, you know, bad eating habits. And it's because they have not gone through these stages. They are missing one of these stages. And often it is because you're trying to use willpower. You're just trying to force yourself into a change where you logically understand it's not, you know, this behavior is not good for you, but you haven't done the deeper work. So the first stage is increasing awareness. And that is increasing awareness of the costs of this behavior on your life, how it's negatively affecting you, and also how this behavior perhaps negatively affects other people in your life, your loved ones, your work. So really getting a really clear picture of how it's no longer serving you. The second stage is to start to stack your whys. And in the beginning, when you're not quite ready for change, you're often looking for why you don't need to change. You're justifying the behaviors. You're not sure that you're really ready or it's really necessary. You might not think it's a huge problem. So when you decide to change something, you want to look for the reasons to change. And it's really important through the process of change that you learn the skills of emotional regulation, because all behavior is driven by emotion. And often coping behaviors, when we numb or escape using alcohol or food or drugs or cigarettes or social media or shopping, is because that's how we deal with uncomfortable emotions like stress or anxiety or boredom or loneliness. So if you don't know how to handle those emotions in healthy ways, you're going to look for something that's a quick fix. And all those things are quick fixes. They do, in the moment, temporarily give you relief. So if you want to change any behavior, you have got to learn the skills of processing your emotions, calming yourself down, regulating your nervous system, so that you can have the tools to feel better without any of these things. Now, the third stage is you want to reduce the cons for changing. So when you think about giving it up, giving up the alcohol or cigarettes or whatever it is, write down all the things that you're worried about. What are the fears? What are the worries? What are the doubts? And then you want to really question all of these things and see how you can change the way you're thinking about them, and focus more on what you're adding in your life, what you're gaining, instead of what you're eliminating or losing. Because we're, as humans, we have, and I can't, there's a term in psychology where we are more afraid of losing something than we are valuing gaining something. So you've got to really shift your mindset of what will get better, what will improve, how will doing this add to your life instead of subtract? Because often when we think about giving up a behavior that is a coping mechanism, we feel like we're just going to be stuck feeling terrible. We're going to be stuck in our anxiety, in our stress, in our loneliness and boredom. And then we're just going to have to sit there and suffer. So of course we wouldn't want to do that. And so it's being able to see that, okay, when I give this up, I can learn all these different ways of feeling better and taking care of myself and de-stressing or having less anxiety or finding connection. And that is, you know, the opportunity that you have. Now, the fourth stage is upgrading your self-image. So really seeing, you know, how you currently see yourself and how, if you don't make this change, how you will see yourself. So for me, with the alcohol, there was an incongruence between the alcohol and everything else I was doing for my health. And so it felt like it was out of alignment. And so I didn't feel good about myself for making that choice, knowing that it was not good for me. So when I thought about not drinking, that felt really good. It felt like I would feel really good about myself. So I would see myself as fully aligning to one of my top core values, which is health and wellness. So for you, how will you see yourself in a more positive light when you make this change? The fifth stage is building your belief in your ability to actually create change, especially if this is something that you have struggled to change in the past. You might think, oh gosh, I've tried all the things. I've never been able to do it. I always revert back to the old way. The old behaviors finds its way back into my life. And so we lose belief and we lose trust that it's even possible. So it's really important that you start to look for areas in your life where you have actually successfully made the change. And I think it's really important to educate yourself on how to change. Basic behavioral change strategies, like what you're learning in this podcast, will help you make changes sustainably. Most people were not taught how to change and they just use willpower. And so that's probably been why you haven't been successful in the past. So when you learn how to change effectively, then you also have belief that it's possible. And then it's really important through this process that you declare this to the people in your life. And that creates accountability. We want to keep our word. So when we tell someone, you know, I'm thinking about giving it up, it's like we've made it public. And the opposite also happens when we don't say anything, when we keep quiet and we are silent about the changes. It's actually self-defense from embarrassment because we're afraid that maybe we'll backslide and we'll go back to our old ways. So we don't want to be embarrassed. We don't want to be seen as someone who, you know, is undisciplined and we can't do what we say we're going to do. So we don't even declare it publicly. So, but that can also help you. Like if you actually do declare it, then you're more likely to follow through. The sixth stage is, and this isn't necessarily a stage, this is actually something that you want to think about throughout this whole process, is not rush. There's no rush to change. Because if you're not in a rush, then you won't rush the process and it will happen very organically, easily if you follow all of these steps. And when we try to rush and when we try to do too much too fast, that backfires and it can often cause regression because it's not sustainable and we haven't done the foundational mindset work to sustain the change. So go slow. Don't be in any rush and trust this process and know that it will happen. And as long as you stay focused on these steps, on these stages, then it will happen easily and you won't have to worry about the regression and the backsliding. The seventh stage is really preparing for those obstacles and challenges when you give it up. So for me, it's really thinking about, okay, what am I going to drink when I go to social gatherings? What will I order when I go to a restaurant? How will I, you know, enjoy a relaxing Friday night, what can I do to celebrate it being weekend that doesn't include alcohol? So think about these things in advance. Have strategies to deal with those obstacles and challenges so that you're prepared for them. And then the final piece, the final stage, and I'm calling these stages, but really these things happen kind of simultaneously. But I would say there are 8 ingredients to create changes sustainably. So the last one is, it's so important that you learn how to manage your stress. Because stress is often what leads to these behaviors in the first place. I mentioned emotional regulation, so that's absolutely essential. But then overall strategies for managing stress. Are you exercising regularly? Do you have people that you can talk to, whether that's a therapist or a coach or close friends and family? Verbal processing is a really great way to manage stress. Relaxation. Are you doing things for relaxation? Do you have a meditation practice? Do you do things like maybe more restorative yoga or yin yoga or foam rolling or stretching? Even walking. Walking every day is such a great way to manage stress. There's so many ways, but it's important that you find things that work for you. Having an evening routine that really allows you to wind down and let go of stress from your body, from the day, so that it doesn't build up and then lead to a relapse of the behavior. So I just want to recap these 8 ingredients one more time. And I highly recommend that you write this stuff down and you create a plan. And if you need help, if you want support and guidance and coaching to go through this process on whatever behavior that you are ready to change, reach out to me. I would love to offer you a 60-minute strategy session where we can discuss where you are in terms of your readiness to change. And if you're not ready, I can help you get ready and I can help you move through the process so that it doesn't feel hard. So number one, increasing awareness of how the behavior is negatively impacting you and the people around you. Number two, stack your whys, your reasons for change. And I mentioned also emotional regulation should add that as its own ingredient. So we'll say that there's 9. Number four is overcoming your brain's objections to change. What are the fears? What are the worries? What are the doubts? Focus more on what you're adding and gaining versus what you're eliminating and losing. Number 5, upgrade your self-image. Think about how you want to see yourself, who you want to be. If you don't change, how will you see yourself versus how you will feel about yourself if you do make the change, and how that will be so much better and how good you will feel. Number 6 is build your belief in your ability to change. And this includes learning how to create changes effectively, changing behaviors, changing habits, changing mindset, and also find evidence from your past that you actually can create the changes you want sustainably. And that is also adding in the, you know, talking about it publicly, declaring it to other people, creating some accountability. Number 7 is no rush. There's no need to force this process. Don't try to make drastic changes. Allow yourself to go slow. Number 8 is defensive pessimism, which is preparing for obstacles and challenges. What will be the challenges of giving this up? And number 9, manage stress to prevent relapse. All right, I hope this was helpful. Again, reach out to me and let me know, is there a behavior that you feel like you are close to getting ready to change? Maybe not there yet, maybe want some support. I would love to help you. And until then, I will talk to you soon.